Today on Real Radio.
The word in Greek here means tongues of this earth, tongues of languages. This verse, this usage is this: an unacquired language spoken by someone who doesn't know the language.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 12. It's called, What Makes a Church Relevant? And in this part of the series, Pastor Jack shows us what God's Word says about who makes the church relevant. This lesson also re-emphasizes that every believer has at least one spiritual gift and that that gift is divinely appointed to function in the body of Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing this mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant?
Let me tell you what it doesn't mean so you can all be set at ease. The word prophecy here does not mean to foretell the future. Maybe some of you say, oh man, I want that gift. I want to be able to know the future. That's not what it means. The word prophecy here means to forthtell, not foretell, forthtell the word of God, the truth of God. So when we talk about prophecy, it's the ability to proclaim a God-given gift whereby a person has no supernatural problem. Hear me out. He or she has no supernatural problem standing up or getting behind a microphone or standing on the street corner or talking to somebody at the store and proclaiming the truth of God. To proclaim, to make known the revelation of God. This is very needed today in an age where the word of God is often rejected. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, here he goes, raised his voice and said to them, that's it. What did he say? Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day, but this is which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, and he begins to speak about the day of Pentecost. He, with the gift of prophecy, proclaimed the truth of God. It is awesome. You say, how do I know if I have this gift? You will have an intense burden to correct falsehood or proclaim the truth where it's absent or vacant. Somebody next to you might not even think that way. And you will say, you know what? Someone should say something about this. Someone should quote this verse. This situation that's happening, there needs to, and it really concerns you. And it's all biblically based. It's done by the Spirit of God. And there's unity. And there's power. The next is this. Who makes the church relevant? You do, if you have the gift of discernment. Look at verse 10. And another, the discerning of spirits. The word here to discern spirits is the word that means, watch this, it's an interesting word. It means to hesitate. You say, what? The discerning of spirit, watch this. You're talking to somebody and somebody's saying something to you and you just met them or you're getting to know them and there's a hesitation. Something wrong here. There's something strange. I can't put my finger on it. You know what I'm talking about, people? Yeah. By the way, this is a very, very, it's always needed, but thank God it is very prevalent in the life of many believers. I've seen brand new believers, Christians only a few hours old, a few days old, have it, where God's protecting them, where somebody comes up and says, hey, did you know that Jesus went around the world on a skateboard? And they'll go, you know what? There's something wrong here. Have you ever been talking to somebody about spiritual things, or you just, and it's just something wrong? I guess I can't put my finger on it. Something's wrong. There's somebody like that, or there's people like that in all of our lives. There's just something. What is it? What? I don't know. Many times when you have this, somebody will say to you, oh, I think you're crazy. He's fine. She's fine. They're fine. Okay, I don't know. Something's weird. Listen, when we start to feel like that and sense that, God is speaking to us. And you and I will either say, I'm going to fast, pray, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to ask God about this. Or we will do this, and this is very prevalent. We will say, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have thought that thought. Well, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I shouldn't be thinking thoughts like that. I should be kind and loving and gentle. And we misinterpret what God's saying. He's warning us, and we turn around and ask him to forgive us for this thought in our mind when it's from him. And he's saying, watch out. Discernment. In a non-gift manner, I believe that God gives a form of discernment to parents. God gives a form of discernment to a married couple, husband and wife. But this is a special gifting of discernment. Next, who makes the church relevant? You do if you have the gift of tongues. This is obviously, you've been waiting for me to get to this part. You've been looking at your watch saying, oh my goodness, when's he going to get to the gift of tongues? I need to hear all about this one. Well, listen, we'll cover it more in chapter 14, but let's just deal with this here right here now as we come to the near the end of this. To another, different kinds of tongues. The word in Greek here means tongues of this earth, tongues of languages. Listen to this. And again, we'll get into detail in chapter 14. This verse, this usage is this: an unacquired language spoken by someone who doesn't know the language. It's deposited supernaturally in them in an instant. It is spoken by them. They'll say something. It's a gathering of one of two settings. Chapter 14 will clarify this when we get there. Number one, it will be a setting of believers. Or number two, it will be a setting of non-believers for a specific purpose. In this context, the gift of tongues is a miraculous deposit from heaven in an instant where someone, for example, imagine yourself right here, right now. You're with me and we are in a village in Russia. None of us speak Russian. And we're visiting a little orphanage and you're talking to some people. We have team members. We're broken up into different parts of this orphanage. And out of nowhere, you have this amazing understanding. Not understanding. You have this amazing prompt. I need to say something to him. I can't communicate to him. I need to say something about God, about Jesus, about... I need to... And listen, please don't be offended by this. If you start rolling your eyes in the back of your head and start shaking, please understand something. I'm not denying that you're having some sort of an experience, but that's not the gift of tongues in this chapter here. The gift of tongues is a deposit of a language that's of this world that you don't know, but the person opposite you knows it. And you can't communicate to them. And God gives it to you. You open your mouth, and here's your thoughts. They're going to be like this. Oh, boy, am I going to look like an idiot? But, and you start speaking perfect Russian to this guy. You don't have a clue what you're saying. This guy falls on his knees, starts crying, and accepts Christ. And you are wondering, what just happened? It doesn't happen as much globally as it once did. It doesn't mean it's done. Where the word of God is printed and brought into languages of their own reading, it's not so prevalent. But understand this, those of you who have had Pentecostal upbringings, get a load of this. Some of you are going to be set free right now because the Holy Spirit gives sovereignly to some people as he wills these gifts. And some of you have been told that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, and that is a demonic doctrine. Not everyone has the gift of healing. Not everyone has the gift of miracles. Not everyone has the gift of tongues. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's not what my previous church said. I don't care what they said. If it's not in the Bible, don't believe it. So listen to this. Case in point, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, that is in unity, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, that's little sparkly flames, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit was in control of them. Verse 4 is key. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because, well, listen, a better word would be they were dumbfounded, shocked. Why? Because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? They don't know our languages. How is it," verse 8 says, "that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome," Latin, "both Jews and proselytes," those have been converted, "Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Verse 11, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Tongues only can only and biblically do only speak the wonderful works of God. "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean?" Tongues, listen, never can there be a message delivered in tongues. That's a violation of the Bible. The Holy Spirit's not in it. Tongues only and always gives glory and honor to God. It's praise. Tongues is a form of praise. Well, Pastor, are we going to have a message today in tongues? I hope not, because it won't be the Lord. But the church I came from, we had messages. That lady had a message. He had a message. They had a message. We all had a message. Listen, that's absolutely emotionalism. There is no such thing as a message in tongues. That's aberrant Pentecostal theology. It's not in the Bible. And then finally, we end with this, the interpretation of tongues, verse 10. What makes the church relevant? Who does? You do, if you have the gift of the interpretation of tongues. This is amazing. And we'll get a lot more of this in chapter 14. But this word means to make known what is said, to bring others into the hearing of a foreign language, unfamiliar with them. You say, what in the world is that? Well, this is actually a big additional shot in the arm, and we'll begin to wrap this up this way. Imagine for a moment, again, it's not going to happen here, you guys. Not this type of earthly tongues. The Bible talks about three types of tongues in Scripture. There's the kind that we're speaking about here, that is an earthly knowable language, unknown to the speaker. Then there's the what the Bible says, the tongues of angels, which is some heavenly language. And then the other word is used for ecstatic speech. Most often you see that in prayer. Well, again, we'll cover that in detail later. Check this out. Imagine if you, again, are with me and we are in Brazil and we are in the jungles of the Amazon. And we come up on a group of people and we don't even plan on this. We're startled. Oh my goodness. Do we have any, what do you think they read? What kind of Bibles? Do we have Brazilian? Do we have Portuguese? We've got, what Bible? None of these, these people don't have any language that we know of. And you're trying to communicate to them. You're trying to draw pictures of the cross and Jesus, and they're going. And a person can speak to you, the group, and someone in the group hears what that guy just said. He says something like, and here's your group of 10, and you got it. I think he just said, "I'll have a Whopper double cheese." These are amazing manifestations. Listen, In fact, look at verse 11 and we'll end here. Look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Notice capital H, as he wills. God is not going to say, watch, he's not going to say this. Hey, church, thanks for coming. Okay, well, so you guys don't get bored. I'm going to give you guys the gift of this and the gift of this and the gift of that and the gift of the other thing, and you guys can all just have a party. Oh, no. No, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and you can run around the sanctuary barking and playing leapfrog in the Spirit. Nope. I'm going to do this so you guys can slap each other on the forehead and you all fall down. But just make sure you have somebody to catch you so you don't crack your head. No. He says, I'm giving you this. Now watch this. If you sitting here right now, if you can hear my voice, if you decide I'm going to be absolutely sold out for Jesus, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be sold out, completely crazy for God, and I am yielding my life to him. I'm going to trust him completely. And I'm going to start seeking him this week to show me what gift or gifts he wants me to exercise in the body of Christ. Knowing full well that what you're saying is, I am no longer going to sit in the pews at Calvary Chapel. I'm no longer going to sit around. I'm going to stand up like Peter did, and I'm going to fill my lungs. And if God puts a broom in my hand, if God puts whatever that's listed in the gifts of the Spirit, I will do that with all of my might to the glory of God. If you are sitting here today and that's your heart, you're saying, Jack, I want God to have every inch of me, every corner of me, and I don't want to hold anything back, then I humbly and lovingly say, welcome to my world. I love that too. I love that. If I can't live like that, I don't want to live. And so, watch what happens in your life. God is going to start speaking to you. You may go out this week, you may go out today, and you might see someone, you might hear of a situation, you might talk to someone, and they're telling you, or you see something, and you are so moved with compassion for them. It almost makes you sick. And you look at them, and you'll have a thought like this, oh God. Lord, if I could do something about that right now, I would. Stop right there. When that happens to me, I have to stop right there and say, Lord, now wait a minute. You are all-powerful God. Why am I even looking at this person right now that's crippled like this? Why do I even care? Why has this caught my attention? Oh, God in heaven, please don't let me weak out. Don't let me wimp out on this. I'm going to go over there. I'm just going to pray for them. And you go over and you say, listen, I don't want to freak you out. I'm a Christian. And I saw that you have a severe injury here. And please, I don't want to upset you in any way, but just can I pray for you? And just pray. Don't make it some big deal. You can even pray silently. You'll know that God is working you into, for example, that case might be the gift of miracles, because you would pray and a supernatural thing takes place in the way of a healing. And you'll know it's God speaking because, and I've done this far too many times, if I don't obey him and I walk away from that person's situation, and I'm going like, God, man, that's such a heart-rending thing. It tears me up. Oh, God, that's amazing. And I walk away, I just feel like beating myself up for days. Because the haunting thought is, what did he want to do? What did he want to do? And I'm begging of you to please live your life like this. Please become so sensitive to him that when he says something, I know it's going to sound nuts to you. That's the whole thing. It's that when he does it, the person walks away touched by God, and you crawl away on your face, humbled by God. And somebody says, wow, man, did you see that? You prayed for that guy and his eyes opened up. You'll be the first one to say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you, and you will never be the same. Only accept that form of Christianity. There's none other.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of this mini-series is What Makes a Church Relevant? It's a look at this section of Paul's letter where he explains how the believer has at least one spiritual gift and how that believer functions in the body of Christ with that gift. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for our Ask Pastor Jack segment because it's Friday, and I just dragged Pastor Jack into the studio because this time I'm going to ask Pastor Jack a question. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, here goes. I'm in a recording session the other day, and I'm talking to a friend of mine about the fact that we're involved in some construction, my wife and I, near the ocean. And my producer friend, he drives this great big beautiful Cadillac. I love this car. I really do like it. Well, when I got to the part about the construction being near the ocean, he said to me, well, what about climate change? How are you going to deal with that? He's thinking my house is going to go under the water. I was really confused because I thought, well, wait a minute. You're talking about climate change and yet you're driving this great big Cadillac that gets like 12 miles to the gallon. And I thought, well, isn't that kind of hypocritical? Or is it?
Well, gosh, I don't know the guy's heart, but I guess, you know, first of all, Davey, Jesus said, don't build your house on the... I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
I'm joking. But listen, honestly, and I got myself into some trouble here in Canada over this topic of global warming. I don't believe in global warming. I believe in a climate change that... oscillates since the creation of time.
Yeah,
I think it's scientific. It heats up and cools down on an immediate scale. It's called four seasons, and then on a long term scale, it's called trends. Mm-hmm. And on a greater scale, it's called life. I mean, the environment goes through changes, and I believe that God has created this world to handle a lot of stress. For example, the Exxon Valdez disaster in Alaska was supposed to have ruined fishing in Alaska. That place now is one of the most pristine tourist stops in all of America.
Right.
Okay. At the time of this recording, Davey, Louisiana and the Gulf has dramatically changed from the British petroleum spill, and everything is back to normal.
Yeah.
Volcanoes explode. There's four at the time of this recording. There's four volcanoes going off right now. What am I saying? I think God has built in a cleansing factor into the very environment. The atmosphere cleanses itself. A lightning bolt, a lightning strike purifies the air of pollutants in less than nanoseconds of
time.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is we need to be careful that we don't get swept up in Romans chapter 1 warning, where it says there's going to be a time coming, I believe we're in it, where men will choose to worship the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah.
And I think we're in that time frame. Climate change is going to come and go. Things will heat up, things will cool down. But I think we just need to really back off from this and watch out, because there is a push to even give up on global missions and supporting my church because I'm going to send dollars to the Green Earth Fund.
Right.
Be careful that you don't inadvertently get swept up into this movement that is very, very, has already been exposed, by the way, to be hype when it comes to data manipulation regarding global warming and these things. In fact, it's the very fact that the global warming is not even mentioned anymore because it's so embarrassing. Now the proponents have gone to climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah, climate change. I'm sitting here right now. Now, look, this is a Southern California spring day, but it's going to be 90 degrees here today.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal.
Ask Pastor Jack. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.